بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Continue reading in the work of Abdullah Al-Wadi'iyya, Hafidha Allah Ta'ala. Nasihati lil-nisa. Nasihati lil-nisa. My advice to the women. We continue reading in the chapter the author she has mentioned, Hafidha Allah Ta'ala, the chapter Min Afat al-Lisan. Min afat al-lisan, from the evils of the tongue, the affairs of the tongue that can destroy an individual, the dangers of the tongue. We have seen the author, she has mentioned several of these afat, and we have been reading from the portion when the author, she mentioned An-Namima. And we have seen in our previous class that An-Namima, it is Naqlu Kalam Qawmin ila Qawmin Akhar ala jihat al-ifsadi baynahum, to transmit statements and speech from one group of people or from one party, one individual or a party or a group of individuals to another party, with the intention of bringing corruption and dissension and animosity and hatred between the two parties. Likewise, we have read that the author, she has mentioned the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to this, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ, and do not obey every swearing low life, maheen, somebody who is a low life, someone who is very lowly, baseless, following their desires. Maheen is a person who has no status or honor, someone who is lowly and despicable. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is describing this person, to not, and saying about him, to not obey him. Do not obey him. And he, also the meaning of وَلَا تُوْثِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ وَلَا تُطِعْهُ وَلَا تُصَدِّقْهُ فِي قَوْلِهِ كَذَلِكَ. And also you do not listen to him, and you do not believe his statement, the one who is halaf, always swearing constantly, wallahi, 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 about every affair. Maheen, the one who was a low life and despicable. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned clarifying from that lowly trait, or from those lowly traits of that person, hammazin, masha'in bin amin, that this individual, he's hammaz, backbiting, and finding fault and belittling others, masha'in bin namim, and walking about and going amongst the people with bin namim, with namima. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned this person who carries namima, who carries tales, and the one who belittles others and speaks ill of them behind their back also. As well, He has mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person is maheen, he's a low life. This is from the traits of the low lives. A believer will be aware of that, a male and a female. A sister, she'll be aware of that this trait, An-Namima, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that this is from the trait of the low lives, of the despicable individuals, maheen. Manna'in lil-khayri mu'tadin athim, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned that this person, also from their traits, is that they prohibit the good, and that they transgress the limits, and they are sinners. And from their traits, that they prohibit the good, and this is the trait of the An-Namam, the one who carries tales from one party to another, corrupting the relationships between individuals and between groups of individuals, that this person, he prohibits the good. But rather a believer who is pious and upright, they will try to bring about good, and they will try to be the means for bringing good to others and bringing khair in the life of others, not bringing shar. Rather, a believer will strive to bring goodness and rectification as much as possible to the people by guiding them and directing them, and by having good speech and the likes, and also by prohibiting their self from harming others with their tongue or with their hand. This is the traits of a good believer, the one who was upright and the one who was described with piety and righteousness. As for the one who is described here with this low life trait, Maheen, then from their traits is that they go about belittling others and finding fault with them, and that they carry tales and they try to bring corruption between loved ones and between individuals who have some love between them, or they have a relationship between them, or even if there is some falling out between them, they will try to increase that. They'll try to corrupt that even more. Also, the author, she has clarified, we have read in the previous classes, just as a review, the hadith that clarifies that an-namima is a major sin. And that is that the fact that an individual, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us about two graves. One of them, both of them are being punished in the grave. And one of them was being punished because of an-namima. Also, what indicates that it's a major sin, we have read also the author, she mentioned the hadith of that's in Bukhari from the narration of Hudhaifa. It was mentioned that Hammam, he mentioned that he says that we were with Hudhaifa. Wa inna rajulan kana yarfa'u al-haditha ila Uthman. And that there was a man who used to carry statements and words to Uthman. فَقَالَ حُذَيْفَ, he mentioned about that issue. سَمِعْتُ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولُ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَتَّاتِ أي نَمَّام. That the one who is a namam or qattat, the one who carries the tales, the one who practices namima, he will not enter paradise. He will not enter paradise. In the previous class, we read this narration. And I mentioned, إِنَّ رَجُلًا كَانَ يَرْفَعُ الْحَدِيثِ إِلَى عُثْمَانِ. And I mentioned this says that a man, he used to speak about Uthman. That's not correct. The correct translation, a man used to carry narrations to Uthman. And this person, he himself was an imam. And he was taking statements of other people to Uthman radiallahu anhu with the intent to sow corruption between him and between the people. So the correct translation to Uthman, not about Uthman, carrying statements to Uthman radiallahu anhu. فَقَالَ حُذَيْفَةُ حُذَيْفَةُ, he said radiallahu anhu, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولُ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَدْتَاتْ, that no قَدْتَاتْ will enter paradise. And then one of the wordings in Sahih Muslim of this narration, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ نَمَّام. So we have seen that the نَمَّام or the قَدْتَاتْ is a نَمَّام, the one who carries namima, calumnies, the one who carries statements from one party to another with the intention of bringing corruption, with the intention of bringing corruption. The point of this narration here we see is to clarify that this is a major sin. The author, after this, she discussed a very important issue. Maybe the sisters remember. Annie, what does that mean? I ask you. What does that mean? La yadkhulul jannata namam aw qattat, that the one who is practicing namima and carrying tales in this manner will not enter paradise. Will not enter paradise. What is the understanding of this narration? What is the correct understanding of this narration? Because we have seen that there are some groups from the deviant sects who ascribe to Islam, they have misinterpreted this narration and the likes of these narrations, and it has caused much, much corruption in the land and in the ummah because of not understanding the text properly. If we remember, this means that they will not enter paradise. Yani meaning, if they not enter paradise, if they died upon this sin, a major sin, and they will not enter paradise with the first of those who enter paradise. And it doesn't mean that the one who is namam will not enter paradise at all. Yani because the understanding of the people of the sunnah is that any person who dies upon al-Islam and dies upon al-Tawheed, then his destination is the paradise, either directly and right away with the first of those who enter, or after being purified in the fire from their sins and from the filth of their disobedience, or entered directly also from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the issue here to remind ourselves about is to know that the one who dies from the Muslims and he has major sins, then he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this also is something that she has mentioned an evidence for. And this was in the hadith of Ubadah ibn As-Samit radiyallahu anhu, and he mentioned that they had taken an oath with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and an allegiance to believe in him and to aid him and to support him. And in that allegiance, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them that whoever does some of these affairs, and that they have taken allegiance not to do, and they have taken an oath not to associate partners with Allah, and not to steal, and not to commit fornication, and not to kill their children, and not to spread lies and tales, and so on and so forth. And whoever does this, then his reward is with Allah. And whoever falls into some of this, and he is held accountable for that and punished in this life, then it's a expiation for him. And as for the one who meets Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he covers his fault and his mistake and his sin in this life, and he meets Allah Azza wa Jalla with that sin, then we see he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in sha'a afa anhu wa in sha'a aqabahu, that if Allah wills, he will pardon him, and if Allah wills, he will punish him. So this narration is clear. Also narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, that this is the case of the one who meets Allah Azza wa Jalla with major sins, or with sins, and with major sins, that they will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is very important to understand. And although the author, she is discussing here about the dangers of the tongue, it's very important to mention the likes of these issues as well. And we have seen, and I have mentioned previously, the one who ponders over the tartib of this work, and looks in, for example, in the index, in the fihris. In the index, you will see how she has mentioned these issues about the tongue and the dangers of the tongue and so on and so forth. And then after mentioning several affairs related to the rectification of one's own self, then she mentions the issue of tarbiyat al-awlad. So the point or the benefit from that is to know that before one can raise their children, tarbiyat al-awlad, they first must raise and cultivate themselves. From that cultivation and from that tarbiyah is to have the proper creed and the proper belief and the proper understanding. And from that here is this issue. Very important for a sister to know, to be upon clarity in these affairs. These affairs that many people have deviated with regards to, especially in these days whenever we see that the Khawarij are very busy, and the people that are following their way and their methodology. Those who are making takfir on the rulers, and those who are making takfir on the Muslims, and those who are spreading blood and corruption in the land, in the name of jihad, in the name of jihad, and so on and so forth. It's very important for a Muslim in general, and for the sister likewise, to be upon clarity in her religion, and to know that this is falsehood, and that these people are upon falsehood, and that the jihad that they claim, it is not the correct jihad. Rather, they are making jihad fi sabili shaitan, those deviant sects and groups, and a believer will not have sympathy for them. Rather, they will have animosity and hatred for them, for their deviance in the religion. First and foremost, and even worse than their deviance, is that they claim it's from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. They follow this misguidance, and then they didn't suffice with that. Rather, they ascribe it to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they ascribe it to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is very foul. So a believer in any case will be upon clarity, male and female, be upon clarity of the correct deen and the correct religion, and what takes one out of Islam and what does not take one out of Islam. And in any case here, it's very important to understand that the belief of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah with regards to the one who dies upon major sins, as long as he's lesser than shirk, then he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, he will pardon him. And if Allah wills, he will punish him according to his sins. And the punishment of purification. And then in the end, his destination or her destination will be the paradise. We continue reading from where we have left off. And the author, she mentions now, one of the reasons why those misguided groups have went astray. She says, وَالدِّين لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ دَلِيلٍ وَاحِدٍ. This is a very important point also. And these subjects are subsidiary topics coming from the issue of namima. And the point here is to talk about namima and to warn from namima and to mention that it's a major sin, and that a believing woman, she will purify her tongue from namima. But coming along with this is the proper understanding. Although it's a major sin, and although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the one who makes namima will not enter paradise, what is the proper understanding of that? The proper understanding of that will be understood and will be found by collecting all of the evidences in this issue. By collecting all of the evidences in this issue, the issue of performing and committing major sins. So this is what the author, she is referring to now. حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. She says, وَالدِّينُ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ دَلِيلٍ وَاحِدٍ. The religion is not taken from one evidence only. إِنَّمَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ جَوَانِبِهِ But rather it's taken from every aspect. From every aspect. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى Just as Allah the Most High, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً O you who believe, enter into al-Islam entirely. Enter into al-Islam entirely. So the issue here that the author is discussing, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى This is the issue that the evidence is Or the religion is not understood from one evidence. The religion is not understood from one evidence. So inside the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, inside the religion of Al-Islam and the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are many issues. Masail kathira, masail aqdiyah, masail fiqhiyah. There are issues in the religion that are related to creed and belief. There are issues in the religion that are related to fiqh and understanding, ibadat and mu'amalat. Actions of worship and also contracts and covenants and nikah and talaq and the affairs of marriage and the affairs likewise of divorce and so on and so forth, jinayat, the affairs of criminal charges and so on and so forth. All of this is included in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. These issues here in particular, they're not understood from one text. So if a person is going to understand, for example, the creed, or if he's going to understand the issue of al-wudu, or if he's going to understand the issue of al-nikah, so on and so forth, then these issues are not understood from one evidence. Rather, in each issue, the evidences that are related to that topic are all gathered. And then they are studied, and then from the gathering of these evidences in one particular issue and topic, then the rulings are derived and found, and clarity is made, and the truth is made clear in this manner. So this is what the author, she's referring to, what دِينُ لَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْ دَلِيلٍ وَاحِدٍ This is very, very important for a believer to be aware of, that the religion is not taken from one evidence. And this is how those Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, as she will mention, have gone astray. They have taken the likes of these evidences. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ النَّمَّامِ خَلَص, they said they heard this narration that the Namam will not enter paradise. Then that's it for him. Then that means that if he died upon that, then he will never enter paradise. Even if he was a believer, even if he had Tawheed. And they left off the rest of the evidences that indicate that those believers who die with major sins will enter paradise. Like the evidence here that the author mentioned from the hadith of Ubadah, radiallahu anhu. And like the evidences also in the authentic collections of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the shafa'ah and the intercession on the day of resurrection. And that after the prophets and the anbiya have interceded, and after the believers have interceded, and even after the angels have interceded, and so, and those who are given intercession, they have interceded, Allah Azza wa Jal, He will intercede likewise. And it will be mentioned that whoever has a mustard seed, the weight of a mustard seed of faith in his heart, then take him from the fire. Then take him from the fire. So they have completely neglected these evidences, and this is a reason for them to be misguided, iyadan billah. So the religion is not taken from one dalil, rather it's taken from all of the evidences with regards to that issue. The proof here, the author, she says, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً O you who believe, enter into Islam in entirety. And he don't take just some of it, or take what is pleasing for one person, or understand one text and the issue, but rather understand the religion in its entirety, from the Quran and from the Sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. Naam, this is the proper methodology. She's referring to this. This is the way of a believer. This is the way of the Muslims. This is the correct way and the correct deen. She says, وَلَمَّا أَخَذَتِ الْخَوَارِجِ بِنُسُوسِ الْوَعِيدِ وَتَرَكَتْ أَدِلَّةِ الرَّجَاءِ ضَلَّتْ وَأَضَلَّتْ She says, so whenever the Khawarij, they have taken the text that are mentioned, that there are Nusus here, the ulama they mentioned called Al-Wa'id. Al-Wa'id. And these are the texts that refer to a threat, the threat of punishment, or the threat of the anger of Allah, or the threat of the curse of Allah, or the threat of the hellfire, and so on and so forth. There are many texts like this where there is a threat. Allah Azza wa Jal has threatened the punishment of the fire or the anger of Allah. Or likewise, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that there is a threat. These are called Nusus Al-Wa'id. The text of Al-Wa'id. Al-Wa'id, it means the threat. So there are texts, no doubt about that, in the book and in the sunnah with regards to the threat of the punishment for those disbelievers and for those who are disobedient likewise. And on the other hand, there are also texts that refer to the wa'd of Allah Azza wa Jal and the promise of mercy and al-raja, nusus al-raja, and the texts that indicate the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and His pardon and His forgiveness. So if a person were to only look at the text of the wa'id, then they will have a misunderstanding. On the other hand, if a person were to only look at the text of hope and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, likewise, they will not have the correct understanding. Rather, they will have a misunderstanding and misinterpretation. But the correct way to understand this deen is by looking at all of the evidences and all of the texts and understanding the truth and the light of all of the evidences. Looking at the evidences of the threats, of the threat of the punishment and the anger of Allah, and also gathering along with that the texts that mention the mercy and the forgiveness and the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then understanding this. So she says here, we read again, وَلَمَّا أَخَذَتِ الْخَوَارِجِ بِنُسُوسِ الْوَعِيدِ وَتَرَكَتْ أَدِلَّةَ الرَّجَاءَ ضَلَّتْ وَأَضَلَّتْ. So whenever the Khawarij, they have taken that only, they have only looked and taken the text of the threat, Nusus al-Wa'id, the threat of the anger and the punishment of Allah and the fire, and they left the evidences indicating the hope for mercy and for forgiveness and pardon from Allah Azza wa Jal, ضَلَّتْ وَأَضَلَّتْ. They went astray themselves and they caused others to go astray. Because of this, looking at the religion from one aspect or the text only of one aspect, they have went astray and they have caused others to go astray. She says now, this is with regards to Al-Khawarij. There's another group, a deviant group likewise, that agree with them. She says, وَتُوَافِقُهُمُ الْمُعْتَزِلَةُ فِي الْحُكْمِ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Another deviant group, like the first one she mentioned, Al-Khawarij. The second group she refers to now, Al-Mu'tazila. Al-Mu'tazila. She says the Mu'tazila, they are in agreements with the Khawarij and this understanding with regards to the ruling against that person in the hereafter. Fi annahu yukhalladu fi an-nar, that the individual who died upon major sin, he will abide for eternity in the hellfire. Naam, she says, واختلفوا في التسمية فقالت الخوارج نسميه كافرا وقالت المعتزلة وقالت المعتزلة نسميه فاسقا. So she says here that although the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they have an agreement with regards to the final outcome of that person who dies upon major sin, and that is that he will abide in the hellfire forever. The Khawarij, they believe this, and so do the Mu'tazila. She says, but they have differed with regards to what they have named that person. So the Khawarij, they have named that person and considered him to be a disbeliever. And as for the Mu'tazila, they have considered him to be fasiq. Fasiq. Naam. So the issue here is the difference between the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij with regards to the ulama, they say this masala, Murtakib al-Kabira, the one who commits a major sin. Wa mata ala Kabira, the one who died upon a major sin without repenting. What is his situation? The Khawarij, they say the one who commits a major sin in this life, he disbelieved by that. He's a disbeliever in this life and he will abide in the hellfire for eternity in the hereafter. This is their creed and their belief. And I summarize, they have evidences they use from the Quran. They misuse the evidences and misunderstand them. And from the point of their misunderstanding is that they do not understand them, the understanding of the Sahaba. And the Salaf of this Ummah. So this is from their point of misguidance. But in any case, they use evidences in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal for their false creed and belief. And that false creed and belief is that the one who commits major sin, he's a disbeliever, and the one who dies upon it, likewise, then he will abide in the hellfire for eternity. He will abide in the hellfire for eternity. And as for the Mu'tazila, then they say that the one who commits a major sin in this life, they don't call him a disbeliever, and they don't call him a believer. They have made another name for him. They call him Fasiq. But they say he's huwa bayna manzilatayn. Bayna manzilatayn. He's between two issues. He's not a believer and he's not a disbeliever. He's in between the two of them. This is what the Mu'tazila claim. But they are in agreement with the Khawarij and the ruling of that individual in the hereafter, and that is أَنَّهُ يُخَلَّدُ فِي النَّارِ, that he will abide in the hellfire for eternity. This is what the author is referring to here, and this issue here. The issue of the one who commits a major sin. The Khawarij, they say he's a disbeliever. And if he died upon that, then he will abide in the hellfire for eternity. And the Mu'tazila, they say he's not a disbeliever, rather he is, and he's not a believer either. Rather, he's between the two in this life, but in the hereafter, he will also, they agreed with the Khawarij that he will abide in the hellfire for forever. This is all a misunderstanding. Naam, so she says here, and we go back, she says that the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they differed with regards to what they considered that person. As for the Khawarij, they say he's a kafir. And as for the Mu'tazila, they say he's a fasiq. Naam, meaning بين منزلتين, that he's between two issues. He's not a believer and he's not a disbeliever, but he's a fasiq between the two. Like that, he's not a believer and he's not a disbeliever, but he's a fasiq. They have mentioned it like this. She says, وَالرَّدُّ عَلَى الْمُعْتَزِلَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. And the refutation upon the Mu'tazila for this issue is that Allah, he says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. She says that the refutation for this corrupt belief of the Mu'tazila here is that Allah, he has said in his book that he is the one who has created you, and from you there are disbelievers, and from you there are believers. From you there are disbelievers, and from you there are believers. She says, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ قِسْمَيْنِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he has made the people to be two groups. إِمَّا كَافِرٌ وَإِمَّا مُؤْمِنٌ. Either they are disbelievers or they are believers. وَلَمْ يُقَسِّمْهُمْ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامٍ. And Allah did not divide the people into three groups. فَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخُذْلَانِ. So we seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal مِنْ الْخُذْلَانِ. She says, Ameen. الْخُذْلَانِ, it means abandonment. Abandonment. And this is something a believer, he seeks refuge with Allah from. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخُذْلَانِ. She says, and we seek refuge with Allah from al-khudlan, from abandonment. From abandonment. The ulama, they mentioned Ibn Qayyim particularly about this issue of al-khudlan. Al-khudlan. The opposite of khudlan is at-tawfiq. At-tawfiq is whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, he will direct a servant and guide his heart or her heart. And Allah will give that person the success to believe the correct belief and to apply that belief in the correct manner. This is called tawfiq. Tawfiq is to have the success from Allah Azza wa Jal to be able to do the correct, to be upon the correct deen, to be upon the correct creed, to have the beneficial knowledge that is right, and to understand the religion properly, and then to apply that in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever Allah, he helps a servant to do this, this means that Allah has given him tawfiq. Or any good that a believer finds in this life, this is from the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he has given him success to do this. But the tawfiq of hidayah is that the guidance is in the hands of Allah, the guidance of the hearts, that Allah will guide a person to believe and to understand properly and to apply that. Likewise, the guidance of the action also is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawfiq. And that means, أَلَّا يَكِي لَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَى نَفْسِكَ. Allah yaki laka Allahu ila nafsika. That means that Allah will not entrust you to yourself. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal al-Wali subhanahu wa ta'ala yatawallak, that he will take charge of your affairs and he will facilitate for you and make it easy. Nasal Allah Azza wa Jal yuwaffiqana jami'an. We ask Allah to give us all success at tawfiq. This is a beautiful supplication a believer he's aware of and she is aware of, to call on Allah and ask for at tawfiq. Wafaqakum Allah, wafaqakun Allah, in this manner like this. The opposite of tawfiq, al-khudlan, or al-khidlan. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, he says, wa al-khidlan, and yaki laka Allahu ila nafsika, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will entrust you to yourself. Meaning he will entrust you to your desires, and he will not aid you, or he will not help you or guide you, he will leave you to your whims, to fend for yourself and to find guidance for yourself and to find your own way through life. And this is not possible. And the one who is entrusted to himself is entrusted to something that is weak. But rather, the only success is to have the complete trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى, from his supplication, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. And do not entrust me to myself for the blinking of an eye. Allahu Akbar. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. Oh Allah, and do not entrust me. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not entrust me to myself for the blinking of an eye. Whenever a person is entrusted to himself, he comes with these issues like this. If somebody is left to their own understanding and not guided by Allah Azza wa Jal, they come with an understanding of the Mu'tazila. They come with the understanding of the Khawarij. They come with the understanding of Ikhwan Muslimin and the Tablighiyin. They come with the understanding of of those who are misguided and they're not upon the correct way. Of the Murji'ah, so on and so forth. But those who have been given success from Allah Azza wa Jalla, they come with the understanding of the people of the Sunnah, ala fahm Salaf al-Salih. Now, so she's mentioning here that these people, they have divided the Mu'tazila, divided the people into three groups. Allah Azza wa Jalla in His book, He divided the people into two groups. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. So the people, they are either disbelievers or they are believers. There is no level in between the two of them. There is no level in between the two of them. So this is the case here, that there is no level between the two levels. Either an individual, he is a disbeliever or he is a believer. But what is important to understand is that not all believers are on the same level. Also from the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. In the creed of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, there are people who are Muslims and they have Iman, but their Iman is deficient and weak. And a believer can be a Muslim and can be a believer and have weak faith because of sins and commit sins. So sins do not take a person out of Islam so long as they are lesser than major shirk and major kufr. So the ulama, they have an issue here, and they call it al-fasiq al-milli. Al-fasiq al-milli. Al-milli yani min he's a Muslim. Also they call it al-mu'min naqisul iman. There is a believer who has deficient faith. His faith is deficient, but he still has faith. Or they call him al-fasiq al-milli, meaning he is from the wicked and the evil people of the Muslims. And he's a Muslim or she is a Muslim, but because of the weakness of their faith, they are corrupt and evil. They are corrupt and evil, but they're still believers. They still have faith. They still have faith. So there are believers who have complete faith, and they are the best of the believers. Now, but then there are believers who have deficient faith, and they are those who sin and fall into major sins and are corrupt and evil from the Muslims. And then there after them, there are disbelievers. So there's no manzila baina manzilatain. There's no level or degree between the two. Either a person is a disbeliever or he is a believer. Now, as for the believers, yes, there are different levels and different darajat and different ranks. And not all of the believers are on the same level in their faith. Even one believer in one day, maybe in the one part of the day they have high faith, and the next part of the day they have low faith. Or maybe in one part of the day they have low faith, and the next part of the day they have high faith. And the iman fluctuates from one person to the next. Either even one individual, even in one day, maybe the iman can fluctuate for an individual. So knowing this, a believer will be able to stay away from takfir. And also, one who learns this will be able to guard their faith, and knowing that sins cause the faith to weaken, and obedience causes the faith to increase. So she says here, those Mu'tazila who have misunderstood these texts like this, they have divided the people into three groups, and Allah did not do that. Rather, they are two. And then she says, فَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخِذْلَانِ. We seek refuge with Allah from being abandoned. And being abandoned from Allah, meaning that Allah will not guide us and will not direct us, and that will be entrusted to our own souls. So she says, وَلَكِنَّ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ الَّذِينَ زَكَّاهُمَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْلِهِ وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. She says, but as for the people of the Sunnah, those whom Allah has mentioned them with good and praised them in His statement, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Verily, we have made you a moderate nation. أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, a خِيَار. And meaning we have made you the moderate nation, meaning the best nation and the most virtuous of all ummas. Naam, so that you may be a witness over mankind, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be a witness over you. She says, wal wasat, the meaning of this word, ummatan wasata, in this verse, al khiyar, meaning the best. فَهُمْ يَجْمَعُونَ بَيْنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ فَيَخَافُونَ عَلَى الْمُسِيِّ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَيَرْجُونَ لِلْمُحْسِنِ الْجَنَّةِ. So the people of the Sunnah, those whom Allah has praised and mentioned that they are the moderate nation and they are the best nation, and the best is the one who is in between two extremes, going extreme overboard and going to extreme negligence. So she didn't mention here, but there's another group with regards to Iman who have been misguided, and they have misled others, and they are the Murji'ah. And they're contrary to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila with regards to the one who perpetrates a major sin. And they believe that as long as a person, he makes the Shahada and he says that he's a believer, then his faith is like the faith of Jibreel and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum. They say whether he commits a sin or not, that sins do not affect his faith. And this is also a misinterpretation. And what has led them astray is the opposite of what the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij did, how they had focused their view and their understanding on the text of the Wa'id, the Murji'ah. They focused their attention on the text of the Mercy, Ar-Raja, and the hope for forgiveness, and left off the text of the threat. And they have went astray on the other end, in the aspect of negligence. And the aspect of negligence. As for the people of the Sunnah, those whom Allah has mentioned, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that they are the moderate nation, they are the best nation. Between these two extremes, they are the ones, she says, فَهُمْ يَجْمَعُونَ بَيْنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ, they are the ones who gather between the evidences, فَيَخَافُونَ عَلَى الْمُسِيءِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ, and they are afraid for the one who does bad and sins for a punishment. They are afraid that he may be punished. وَيَرْجُونَ لِلْمُحْسِنِ الْجَنَّةِ, and they have hope for the one who does good to be in the paradise. So they gather between the two. وَلِلْمَزِيدِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ رَاجِعِي شَرْحَ الْأَقِيدَةِ الطَّحَاوِيَةِ فَمَا فِي صَفْحَ 16 و 300 فَمَا بَعْدَهَا. So she says, as for more understanding or further information about this issue of the one who commits a major sin, then review and look into the explanation of Al-Aqid Al-Tahawiyya and page 316. And after that, she mentions here that you will find this issue. You will find this issue being discussed here. So she says, فَمَسْأَلَةُ النَّمِيمَةِ مَسْأَلَةٌ خَفِيرًا. In any case, the issue of a namima is very dangerous. تُفْسِدُ بَيْنَ الصَّدِيقَيْنِ وَبَيْنَ الرَّوَابِطَ الْقَوِيَّةِ, that this namima, it is very dangerous, and it corrupts the relationship between friends, and also the relationships that are strong, and the likes, it brings corruption to them. And we finish here, we continue next week. بإذن الله تعالى وأسك الله سبحانه وتعالى to increase all of us in good and understanding in his religion, and to grant us success in this life to that which is pleasing to him, and to grant us success to enter his paradise in the hereafter. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.